Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
All of it. I'm Allison Stewart. Today's show is all about feel-good and family-friendly programming to watch over the holiday weekend. And it's hard to think of a better feel-good show for this moment than Ted Lasso, whose earworm of a theme song goes a little something like this.
Second, take your time. You know where mirrors if you remember that you're mine. And when everybody's telling me I have no time, I prove them wrong again. Yeah, I might be all that you get. Yeah, I guess this might well be.
Written by Marcus Mumford and Tom Howe, that is the theme song for Ted Lasso. Now, on the surface, Ted Lasso is a fish-out-of-water, across-the-pond comedy that won over the hearts of a soccer-averse nation last year with charm and the gosh-darn decency of its titular character. On another level, it's a real meditation on what the difference is between being nice and being kind, and as we learn in Season 2, how you really can't outrun the things that hurt you. The show won a Peabody Award earlier this year and won several Emmys, including Outstanding Comedy Series and Outstanding Lead Actor, Supporting Actor, and Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series. In September, we were joined by writer and series co-creator Brendan Hunt, who also plays the enigmatic and beloved Coach Beard. Hunt joined us the day after an episode aired that was dedicated entirely to his character. We've scrubbed most of the season's 2 spoilers from that interview, but fair warning, we may have missed a couple. Here's a clip from the series featuring Beard and the regulars at the local pub.
Drop your keys.
Oh. Thanks.
Rough match, mate.
We thought you needed a hug. I thought you needed a hug.
Do you want to talk about it?
We can talk and drink, as long as we talk about anything but the game and drink.
Have you ever been to Vegas?
What's Ted like behind closed doors?
How do you cope knowing the universe is infinite, but your consciousness can end in a second?
I've been to Vegas many times. One night is good. 2 nights is perfect. 3 is too many. Ted is a man. Just a man. And as for the fragility of life, I'm so glad someone finally asked. Because, yeah, I got a few thoughts.
The Coach Beard focus episode was a rarity, but still in keeping with the fact that a lot of Season 2 spends time on the characters. So I started my conversation with Brendan by asking him why they took that approach.
Well, from the beginning, despite the fact that, you know, one dude's name is the title, we've always seen it as an ensemble show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jason's background is in ensemble stuff, you know, sketch groups and improv groups. So it's just a natural evolution of what we were kind of always intending. It wasn't so much a decision as just, you know, the course that was naturally, you know, flowed toward.
Earlier this week, you know, we played a little bit of the NBC sports spot that inspired the series, and you're in that too, a similar role, an assistant coach, a few words, who appears to be better informed about soccer than Ted. When you all were thinking about the series, was it always clear that Coach Beard was going to come along?
Yeah. You know, it's a, you know, me and Jason and Joe Kelly, originally who were working on that first, pair of, advertising campaigns. And then we, you know, wrote a pilot together and kind of mapped out a season, you know, all those years ago. And yeah, we just think it's really valuable for Ted, who is so, you know, loquacious and happy seemingly, to have a foil, to balance him out. And, you know, the way to balance Ted out is to hardly talk, because Ted's got that pretty much taken care of.
I know in a couple of interviews you said that The Office, the British version, was an analog you used for when you first thought about doing this show. And this has been in the hopper for a while, since 2015. What was it about The Office
that was helpful for you when you all were thinking about putting this together?
You know, one thing, Jason, specifically want to draw from The Office is that, because, you know, when I first watched The Office back when it came out, because I was living in, I just moved to Europe, so, like, everyone was talking about this new show on the BBC. But it seems like it's partially improvised because of how, you know, how natural the dialogue rolls out. And it's not. It is scripted down to the syllable. And, you know, even though Jason and Joe and I are all improvisers, Jason early on was like, this has to be scripted completely. Because we riffed through the commercials for sure. Jason does a lot of riffing. I mean, there's hours of stuff on the cutting room floor that is absolutely hilarious. But for this, he saw early on that no, we needed something of a stronger and firmer foundation. So yeah, I guess the answer is the meticulousness, the detail, and yeah, the sheer, you know, work and preparation that would have to go into it.
My guest is Brendan Hunt. He plays Coach Beard on Ted Lasso. So Beard is deliberately an enigma. We know so little about him or where he came from, but that's really part of the appeal. You know, I've known people have asked you about his backstory, and you say he's from Illinois, Central Illinois. How does that help inform Coach Beard that he is probably from Central Illinois?
Yeah, I mean, that's strictly headcanon right now, I must disclaim. But but I don't know. I just think I'm just drawing from myself on that. You know, Jason's drawing from his own Kansas background for where Ted's from. And if I were to draw from Beard, from my own background, then Beard would be from Chicago. But I don't think he's from Chicago. I think he's a little more, if not country, at least small town in the way that Ted is. And I just don't think they grew up in the same place. So by, you know, having him just a couple states over, but in the same kind of culture as what Ted came from, makes them, you know, complementary but not identical, I think, in a way that's not necessarily invaluable. And for the record, I went to college at Illinois State in beautiful, normal Illinois. So Central Illinois is not something with which I'm, you know, grossly unfamiliar and can draw a little bit from.
Did you make a backstory for him?
Yeah. But again, it's all headcanon, but I, you know, somehow they met when they were younger, I think, you know, probably in college, but maybe earlier. They drifted apart, I think, when Beard started following Fish on the road. You know, Fish the band, not
that tracks.
Not aquatic animals who drive. and then, you know, he perhaps took a little too much of what people take when they go see Fish shows, and life got out of hand for a while. And somewhere along the way, Ted saved him, perhaps from an Omaha meth den. I don't know. It's all headcanon. But either way, Ted has essentially saved his life, and he has seen the value of the lasso way firsthand. So he owes Ted something a little bit, and he'll follow him to hell. And he knows personally that following Ted works.
Omaha meth den. Didn't expect to hear that sentence this morning.
Good morning.
Did not. My guest is Brendan Hunt. He plays Coach Beard on Ted Lasso. So, you know, even though he is stoic and even though he is aloof, there's definitely a sort of an energy around Coach Beard. There's definitely sort of a vibe that you get off of Coach Beard. So how do you as an actor kind of create that energy, even though you might not have the most dialogue?
What a great question. I'm flattered even by the asking of that. Thank you. All I'm doing is listening. Like I'm listening my ass off, you know, because I do think Beard is fairly analytical, but he's analytical in a very in the moment kind of way. You know, I think he attends to Ted in a way, like his whole goal in life. I've talked about this is, what does Ted need? And, you know, sometimes it's learning the entire rules of a sport over the course of one international flight. And sometimes it's to be set straight. So he's listening very closely to Ted. And I think he just carries that on to everyone else, you know. And he's ready to either answer a question or to jump on a literal grenade if one happens to be thrown in the room. He's just ready. And I don't think he was in the military, but I think he probably went to like a 1 week military fantasy camp. And he cherishes that memory.
Let's go to Christine calling in from West Orange, New Jersey. Hi, Christine. Thanks for calling All of It. What do you like about Ted Lasso?
Literally everything. There's nothing I don't like. It's a perfect show. And happy anniversary, Allison. You're awesome and your show is awesome.
Thanks.
You're the best. You know, what I love about it is its complexity. It's positive and it promotes positivity without apology, but it's also complex. It's not a one note positivity. It shows the darkness and what happens on the other side of positivity, and that life isn't always about sunshine and roses, but when it is, you really need to recognize and celebrate it. And I love the accountability of everything. You know, it's okay for men to be vulnerable and accountable, and that's not something we see on TV very often, if at all. And I just feel like it's showing people that it's okay to be their best selves. And I think that we're coming in out of an era, especially in America, where our former president allowed people to show the worst side of themselves. And Ted Lasso is giving everybody permission to be their best selves. And if you're not okay, it's okay not to be okay. And bringing in Dr. Sharon and showing the evolution of Rebecca and giving these, and Keely, giving women like this forefront, this responsibility, this respect. I call myself a Ted Lasso evangelist, and I get mad at my friends who don't watch it because I'm like, what are you doing with your life? Seriously.
Christine, thank you so much. I love that she's got her friends on blast about that. I do want to follow up on something that you said, Brendan, which is sort of the decency and the goodness of most of the characters, especially of Ted, because Ted is sort of like you put Joe Biden and Ned Flanders and Mr. Rogers in a blender, and there's somebody else, I haven't quite figured out who it is yet, and you put them together and you get this fundamentally decent guy, but who's not boring and not one layer. Why do you think this is striking such a chord at this moment? Christine touched on why she thought. I'm curious your thoughts.
Well, I think Christine is really spot on there. And I love hearing these calls, and I would like to hear by request that we do this for the next 8 to 10 hours. but you know, I mean, people saw the show and like, oh, this is a response to what the former president is doing. But we were writing the show, before that horrible 2020, but that president had, you know, as we were saying at the time, Bill Lawrence in particular was saying in our writers' room, there was a new toxicity in the discourse, and this is kind of a response to that. And this, on some level, is reminded, you know, or intended as a bit of a reminder that we didn't always used to be this way in this country, and we have other options of ways we can behave.
Brenda, I thought something sort of interesting. I read a little bit of analysis. I think we're sort of the same vintage, and you know, you had to wait for shows to come out week to week, and then you would do this. You would like talk about The Sopranos at work on Monday morning. And in the beginning, some people weren't quite sure what season two was about and what the rhythm was. And I read one reviewer who said, you know, I think we've forgotten how to watch TV like this. We've gotten so used to everything dropping at once. How do you feel about it rolling out week after week?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if we just dropped it all at once, then that's the only way you're going to be able to watch it. And doing it this way, you have options. You can do it weekly and feel that tension, or you can just wait till it's over if you must binge things and binge it all the way through. I read the article you're talking about, and I thought it was really, you know, really pretty interesting. Like, for example, with the show Lost, Lost became a hit pretty much while I was still spending a lot of time in Amsterdam. So I didn't watch it. This huge cultural phenomenon I knew nothing about. And then the first day I got a Roku in like 2009 or 2010, like, I'm going to watch all of Lost. And I remember hearing from people that there were whole seasons of Lost that people hated. But if you just zip through the whole thing, you don't experience that. You don't experience the, like, 8 weeks of mediocrity and then, you know, 8 more months of waiting for a new season to come. You just tear through it. So there's something great about being able to binge stuff and, like, go through at your own pace, for sure. But, yeah, this notion that we no longer know how to pace ourselves is really interesting, because like a lot of the, you know, discourse or a bit of backlash we've been getting, some of it I'm just like, hey, we're not supposed to do what you think we should do, and we're in the middle of telling this story. There's still 8 weeks left, for example, when people were responding to the Christmas episode. And yeah, I'm just not used to standing up a half hour in the movie and saying, boo! I generally give it a chance to you know, tell a little more of the story. And you know, especially if I already know that I like the first, you know, installment. You know, I try to trust the storytellers a little bit. And maybe that's just harder to do on a weekly basis nowadays. I don't know.
It's like when the contractor tells you you can't come back until it's done. Like, quit looking at the apartment half in wreck.
Now, I watched a video, Brendan, from you that with your co-stars, Juno Temple and Hannah Waddington, and they called you the football genius in the show. Have you always been a soccer fan? Are you truly a soccer fan?
I am now, but I was not as a kid. Growing up in Chicago, soccer just did not penetrate my sphere at all, and I was a big sports fan. But as I say, I was in Amsterdam for a while, and when you're in Amsterdam, especially back then when you couldn't just be, you know, streaming your teams from back home, you have to find a new sport. And soccer is more than ready to accommodate. And that's when I discovered, like, oh, soccer is, in fact, awesome. And everyone who's been telling me it's boring or not worth my time has been lying to me, and I now hate them. Soccer is a fantastic sport with incredible skill sets and talents and characters and drama and tension. It's pretty much everything you want a sport to be, you know. It's not perfect. No sport is. But I'm you know, I fully have the bug now. And but I never really played, so I don't know it on that level. But in terms of, like, the things around it and the history, I'm just going to say, you want me on your pub quiz team. You want me on your pub quiz team.
Final tweet. MJ says, there's so much ugliness in real life now. We need more honest, real, decent, consistent, sincere characters for people to look up to and see how they handle hard times and how they handle successes with humility. Thank you for this gem. So there you go.
That's great.
I think people like your show, Brendan.
Well, now I'm starting to feel like it. This is wonderful. I mean, this kind of, yeah, firsthand, you know, hearing people's voices is not something that happens a lot. So I really appreciate that's what this has been. This is really great.
That was my conversation with Brendan Hunt, co-creator and writer for Ted Lasso and the actor behind the mysterious Coach Beard.